Welcome to Disarming Persuasion, the podcast for sales and business leadership professionals. My name is Dave Rosenberg, and I am the founder and principal at Locked On Leadership, a consulting firm with a mission to replace Thank God It's Friday with Thank God It's Monday. With me is my co-host, a man who can literally teach sales with one hand tied behind his back, Darren Cecil. Darren, what are we going to discuss today?
Let's talk about roll, Dave.
Roll? Roll. French rolls, dinner rolls, Kaiser rolls, bagels. What kind of roll are we talking about?
I'm so glad you asked. I thought you were going to go, you know, roll tide roll or, you know, roll
I'm
up
not an,
barrel.
I'm not an SEC guy, you know.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
No, if you're going to say go Owls.
I'm going to leave that one alone. That's just for those that don't know, I think Dave is referring to the Temple Owls based in Philadelphia. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Okay.
So, that's a hoot that you knew that.
That was brilliant. And I don't want to be a nut, so I won't talk about being a Buckeye. So why don't we just move on and let's talk about looking at people separating their role from their identity. That's what I'd like to talk about.
Separating a role from their identity. So let's start with, if we could, explaining perhaps, so I get it, what it looks like when your role and identity are intertwined.
Sure. So let's look at first. I just had a conversation with a dear friend, and she's 80-something years old, and she's a surrogate grandmother to our kids. And what she was talking about was trying to find a partner because she's lonely. And she talked about she can't do that because of the how she sees herself in roles that she couldn't do what she wants to do. So let's break that down even further, right? So we all have roles that we play. You're a business owner. You're a spouse. You're a neighbor. You have many roles that you play on a daily basis, correct?
Correct. Well, play, you know, play it implies that it's like we're play acting and that we're not really that person and we're just putting on a character.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Is that how you see roles as characters we put on?
Well, sometimes I go in and out of various roles. So what happens is if I cannot separate my role from my identity. Sometimes I'm a really good dad. Like I crush it in the dad arena. But if I crush it in the dad arena, another role that I may have as a business owner may suffer. And for people that can't separate their role from their identity, if I'm a bad business owner, I must be a bad person. That's when role and identity become intertwined. When I look at the roles that I play, if I'm not succeeding these roles, I tend to say I'm not a good person, which then allows me not to be good in those other roles. Now, that was a mouthful, so I'm going to stop for a second.
Let me spit that back at you. I got dinner roll in my mouth, so I just want to spit it at you. Playing my child role. Petulant child tape playing now, stopping that. let me see if I got this. And I want to use the example you used, and then I want to flip it. So I'm crushing it in my dad role. My other role, businessman role, might suffer.
Yeah.
When you said that, I flashed to the owner of the moving company I used to run. So I was hired as vice president, became president, but he was still the owner.
Yep.
Great dad. He really did crush his dad role. The problem was his kids would call in the middle of the day. And he would drop whatever he was doing to deal with his kids. Mm-hmm. And I am not, what's the word I'm looking for, judging. I am judging. I judge things all the time. By the way, it's one of my biggest canards out there is we don't judge. We always judge. We just don't vocalize our judgment. Mm-hmm. The problem was it was interfering sometimes with business stuff that had to get done from 8 to 5. And I frankly, I would reflect personally, you know, when I was growing up, not only didn't you call your dad at work? You couldn't call your dad at work. So, you know, now with cell phones, it's a lot more intrusive. So here we had somebody who I suspect so strongly identified with being a role, with his dad role, more than he identified with his business owner role, even though he had an MBA from Berkeley and was really a very talented and gifted entrepreneur, it got in the way. Do I have that right?
Nailed it.
So flip-flop that, because I think the more common, and I could be totally wrong about this, problem is the opposite identifications, where we identify him as a business owner, and a business owner needs to be successful, and now we become this workaholic business owner driving the business to the exclusion of family.
Absolutely.
Why would that be bad if I identified as a salesperson or a business leader and I put all my energy focus? How does that harm me how does it harm me?
Well, many arenas. So if I have children and I am not spending time, talent, and treasure, shall I say, with my children because I'm so caught up in my business, that's going to lead to an unpleasant family life, which is actually then going to come back into my work life. And so it's going to impact my ability to be successful as a salesperson if I've got all these other roles that aren't as positive as they could be, especially for me that identify so strongly with being a dad.
Wow. So I was planning, I'm going to be launching a leadership retreat at the end of March. I was planning it out today. And one of the things we were talking about with my coach at a meeting earlier today was that as a leader, we first need to know ourselves mm-hmm. before we could lead others. And that's really what you're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Being true to yourself. Because we're not our role.
Right.
And if we identify as our role, then we leave part of ourselves. We're not being authentic. It's really what it comes down to. We're not being authentic.
That's right.
And people know when you're not authentic, and then they don't trust you.
That's right.
Absolutely. So this is a real problem, isn't it?
In any profession. I mean, there's been baseball players that gave up a winning home run and a couple of years later committed suicide. Couldn't separate the role from the identity. There's people that are so good at work, but their kids won't even talk with them. You've got people that are so caught up in one thing that other things get neglected. It's a huge problem in any industry, in any profession, in any role within an organization. It can be a huge problem.
When you talk about the baseball player, I was thinking about cops, you know, our first responders in general, you know, huge post-retirement suicide rate.
Yep.
Because they're so tied up with being a cop
yep.
that they forget to be who they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if our job as leaders and salespeople is to be transformational, we talked about that in a different podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to see clearly who the other person is.
That's right.
So we can help them transform into who they want to become.
That's right.
We first need to know who we are.
Absolutely.
They're not going to trust us if we're inauthentic, because that's not a dangerous journey, but it's fraught with emotional roadblocks and bumps, and we're getting a little woo here, but I think it's important because this is reality. This is the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think we're in agreement that if our identity is wrapped up in our role, that we built our identity on a house of cards.
Absolutely. Well, here's a quick example, Dave. You remember longtime San Diegan Pat Hydman.
Sure. Founder of Vistage, was originally called Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic organization.
Yep, absolutely. He worked as a full-time consultant till he was 98 years of age. And I said to him, Pat, you brought you University of California, San Diego to San Diego, and you fought other universities that did not want a university in San Diego because it might detract from some of the other university system in California. You did everything in this city. You are, you know, you started Tech, which is now Vistage. You've done so much. Why do you continue to be a consultant? He said, my fear is if I stop working, I will probably die. And that's a very powerful statement. The day I stop working is the day I die. I remember he shared that with me one day.
Yeah, I got to be candid. I'm not sure that's a role identity issue. I knew Pat pretty well, probably not as well as you, but I knew him pretty well. And Pat knew who he was. I think that's more of a I need a purpose issue. We all need a purpose. We need a reason to get up in the morning. That's why so many people are what my wife calls retirement failures, because without the job, they don't have a reason to get up in the morning. And Pat created his own purpose.
Right.
So in that sense, his role was his identity. But it was, in Pat's case, that's who he was. I think it was authentic Pat.
Oh, I would say it's authentic Pat. Absolutely. The reason why I say that is we had multiple conversations and it just came out that that was a role thing as well. I love the comment about purpose and we'll definitely go with that. There's been a lot of times, you know, I have three children. I'm an empty nester. A lot of times parents struggle when those children go away because they put so much of their motivation, all their time and their energy and resources into those children. And when the children go away, it's like, okay, now what's next? That's a role identity thing because they get so caught up in their children, for example.
Right. So what I'm hearing here is that we need to be multidimensional so that an aspect of our life changes as it does, because life has changed. We know that.
Right.
That when an aspect changes, we can change with it. I guess where I'm falling on this is we have to be careful of what role we identify with.
That's true.
It's not to identify with a role, because I think about my lifetime. I've changed jobs more times than most people change their socks. And I identify who I identify with being has nothing to do with the jobs I've held.
Right.
And so that I think is, you know yourself, identify with something that's not job related. My jobs have always been related to, or I've made them relate to, who I identify with. I don't identify with the jobs I get.
Right.
Right. I think that's an important, you know, I love these conversations. They become very self-enlightening, but I think that's an important distinction. If you want happiness in our lives, and, you know, this is not supposed to be a self-discovery podcast, but if you're going to be in persuasion, you need to know yourself.
Absolutely.
I think that's number one. We need to be, we said it before, we need to be authentic, need to know ourselves. And so figuring out what our passion and purpose in life is, being in alignment with that. This is something I've recently learned. And by the way, folks, I'll be 60 in 6 months. So it's never, and when I say recently, I don't mean in galactic or geological time frame. In the last 3 or 4 years, really, for me. So it's never too late. In fact, I love the fact that I can still learn stuff, because, you know, life would be boring if you, well, there's a line of Monty Python. Ask Dr. Bloody Bernofsky. Oh, there's a penguin on the TV. Right. There's a penguin on the TV. What's he doing there? How should I know? I'm not Dr. Bloody Bernofsky. How would he know? Oh, he knows everything. Well, one like that takes all the mystery out of life. Right. It's always good to have something to learn. And please, no comments on my Eric Idle Michael Palin imitations.
I don't want to interrupt, but I was about to do that. But since you said not to, I'll just refrain.
Appreciate it. All right. So we're going with this role identity thing. I think this is important. How do we avoid getting too tied up in our role?
Well, one thing I shared with my clients is, what if every day you made a list of all the roles that you played and you give yourself a grade? And then, not to get religious, but the Bible says his mercies are new and tender every day. So you get to start fresh. A lot of times salespeople in particular live too long on successes and beat themselves up too long on failures. And so if you were to just take a list of all the roles that you play and gave yourself a daily grade, what will happen is, you know, whatever gets measured gets managed. People would be able to see, I'm deficient in this area because my grades are really low in this area, and you start to see it over a period of time. Then people can make changes and to see if they want to put more time in the role or not. And to me, that's really helpful for people to understand the roles that they play. And if I make a list of all the roles and I give myself a grade, an honest grade, know yourself, which you talked about earlier, it allows me then to say, I'm really strong here, I'm really strong there. What can I do to shore up this other challenge right here? And is it something that's temporary, or is it something that's been going on for a long time? To me, that's a really helpful step.
I think that's a great first start. You also just said something, and I was so glad to hear you say it. And this is important, folks. When you're giving yourself this grade, notice Darren didn't say, I sucked here, I suck there.
Mm-hmm.
Get what we focus on. When you look at things from a negative perspective like that, you're going to get more of it. Mm-hmm. So look at where you're strong. Right? I'm good here. I'm good here. We talked about this in a different podcast too. I alluded to it. This is sound sports psychology. It's really performance psychology, which is right. Success breeds success. Look at what, even if there's only one thing you did right, look at that.
Right.
Now, there's other things that you can improve on. So when you say I need to improve on something, it doesn't mean you suck at it. It just means there's room, and there's always room for improvement. So focus on where you can improve and what you've done. Start with what you've done right and then something to improve, and picture yourself being better at it, not failing at it, not failing at it. Not I'm never going to yell at my staff again, right? Now I'm focusing on the negative.
Right.
Said, I'm going to be calm and under control when I deal with my staff.
Right.
It's an affirmative, positive approach.
Absolutely. And the one thing you said, I want to just give an example that's helpful that I share with my clients. Instead of saying, you know, I suck at this or what have you, I'm choosing not to invest my time in this area at this point.
Again, it's a positive
statement. Absolutely. I'm choosing to spend my time in this area. And as a result of that, I'll be spending more time in this area in the future, or starting whenever that may be. So I really appreciate what you just said.
And I love the choice of words, choosing. Because mm-hmm. life really is a choice. And it right. really comes down to something as simple as, this is how I choose to react. Period. There's no hidden mechanics. There's no, my practice wife, I've talked about her once before. She was clinically depressed. And I remember her just, you know, in a fit of anger with me, because when I first met her, I didn't really know what this meant. You know, it was my young 20s and she seemed fine. She was, you know, always witty and happy around me. And then, you know, we got together and then I found out she's clinically depressed. And, you know, I was in it to win it, to stay there with her. And at some point she said, I can't just choose to snap out of it. And 40 years later now, or 30 years, whatever it's been, I completely disagree with that statement. I don't have the psychological degree that you have. I don't have clinical experience, but I think that's a choice.
Right.
And everything we have is a choice. So you can choose to not have, what was your word?
To invest my time in this particular place. I'm investing it over here instead at this moment.
And there's a power to that. There's when you take action, right? Because you're not doing something, you're choosing to do something else. And it's a different power structure. It's a positive power that comes out of that, positive energy that comes out of that, which will grow and multiply. Let's get our pyramids out now and pray to that positive energy.
We're going to sing Kumbaya?
Only if we can hold hands, and you only have one, so that's out.
It's not going to work as
well. What's that?
It's not going to work as well.
No. All right, role identity. This has really become a bizarre podcast.
Yep. The one thing I would like to share, I believe my identity, I believe I am the best Darren Richard Cecil, born March 16th, a different year, that ever walked the face of in Lynn, Massachusetts, that ever walked the face of the earth. So my identity is a really strong number. I'm the best Darren Cecil there ever was. Well, my son Darren Cecil may disagree. That's why I'll say Darren Richard, right? And so if I look at that, my identity is strong. That's a really powerful thing. A lot of times, if we can't separate the two, we let other people can critique our role, right? If I'm a consultant, I do a training, you have a right, you fill out an evaluation, correct? You fill out an evaluation.
Correct.
And you have comments. What happens then is sometimes we let people give a grade to our identity. And that becomes a huge challenge.
It's funny, as you were saying that, I was thinking, how do I identify? And I identify as my values.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? I am. I honor courage. I honor integrity. I honor bravery. I honor directness and bluntness. These are things that I honor, right?
Yep.
That are meaningful to me and who I see myself as. And I think people experiencing me the same way, which is, right, that's how you know you're in alignment. When people experience you as you perceive yourself to be. And so my role, that's my identity. My role as a leadership expert and coach, as a business coach, as a president of a moving company, as a senior business analyst for a consulting firm, as a salesperson in technology, and I could, the list goes, as a naval officer, as the list goes on and on, right? Those were just jobs I had, roles I had.
Yep.
But each and every one of them, I brought to who I am to the table.
That's right.
So I think that's another thing, folks, is really understand, take the time to understand what your values are. What's important to you? That's what values are. Values are our beliefs structured in a hierarchical manner. So we put a value on these beliefs over others. But so the values I listed for me are the things that I personally believe are the most important beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Yours are different.
Yep.
Well, we have some overlap. We wouldn't be friends if we didn't.
That's right.
Right? There's not but you value... You value other things. I know, for example, family. Family is not as important to me as it is to you. Oddly enough, I don't have kids, right?
Right.
You know, and my wife is an only child. We share that commonality. So we all have different value systems. What are yours, folks? And if you can't list them out, spend some time working on that. Because when stuff hits the fan, and your role is being ripped apart by circumstances that you can't control, mm-hmm. what you can control is who you are and how you react to it.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, I'll just say this personally. I hope people get this because three people I grew up with, as a result of what's been going on in our world right now, they lost their jobs, could not provide for their family, and took their own lives. That's not being able to separate their role from their identity. And that's a tragedy. And, you know, if people listen to this podcast and they say, I'm going to start listing my values and those are unshakable or unmovable, or I'm going to embrace those, then maybe like when you said, I'll use the term when the shit hits the fan, they'll be able to draw back on their values.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. We always draw back on our values. That's, I believe, whether we know them or not, the values are how we make decisions.
Yes.
But there's a strength to knowing them, right? It's like before when I said people avoid making commitments out loud because there's a magic there.
Yep.
When you proclaim to the world, this is who I am. I'm a man of integrity.
Yep.
I'm a man who honors truth. I'm a man who honors courage and bravery.
Yep.
It becomes really difficult to then do something that's contrary to that because the world hears you say that.
Yes.
So we all will honor our values, but you need to uncover them and know them, be able to state them. And that will be a bulwark against dark times.
Absolutely.
Wow. I think this has been a powerful podcast, Darren.
I was going to use the exact same word, powerful. That's the exact same word I was about to say. Very, very powerful. Very insightful that if our listeners start implementing some of these things, they'll become different people. And what a blessing that will be for them.
Yeah. And it's funny, when Darren says different people, I had an image in my mind. I would rephrase that.
Please.
They will become them true selves.
Beautiful.
I have this vision of, you know, I think it was Michelangelo's, you know, how do you carve a statue? He says, I take a block of granite and I chip away everything that isn't the image I want.
Mm-hmm.
These are ways for us to chip away at those pieces of us that don't really belong and reveal the true self. And if you want to be a great leader, first, lead yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't be effective in sales if you don't understand yourself and what you've got going on and what you bring to the table as well.
Absolutely. I think this is a good place to wrap it up. What do you think?
I would think that it's an amazing place to wrap it off. And I want to wrap it up. And I want to thank you for the great insight you shared. And I'm very encouraged and inspired for this one to air.
Yeah. Likewise, Darren. It's been a lot of fun. Not that we're stopping, but a lot of fun. This has worked out really nicely. We decided to do this. Folks, if you enjoyed listening to this as much as we enjoyed putting this on, please subscribe to our podcast. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one, Dave.
Take care, Darren.
That concludes another episode of Disarming Persuasion. My name's Dave Rosenberg.
And this is Darren Cecil.
Visit our websites at LockedOnLeadership.com or DarrenCecil.com. Follow us on social media. You can find the links in the show notes. Remember, if they fail to make a decision, you failed to disarm them.